This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. Happy Monday to everybody. A beautiful day outside. Hopefully, everybody's out there enjoying the weather. Had a great weekend. If you're a Mariner fan, it was a great weekend. The team is rolling. We've got much to discuss. Our guy Ryan Roland-Smith will join us at 3 o'clock. Talk some Mariner baseball with him. John Morosi, who's always a ray of sunshine, will join us at 4 p.m. today. Lofa Tatupu makes a triumphant return to the program coming up today at 4:30. And at 5 o'clock, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, joins us. We're squeezing everybody in today. We've got some abbreviated shows coming up because the Mariners will be in Texas taking on the Rangers. So we want to make sure we got everybody, the guests they love to hear from.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we do, Dave.
Yeah, we got to pack them in. We got the draft coming up this week. I mean, there's lots of exciting things going on, including the Mariners, man. That was a, you know, they, unfortunately, they lost the extra innings game, but I was just blown away by that game. That was so fun to watch. And Dylan Moore just making play after play. And then, by the way, and we're going quickly here to the game where they went extra innings, but it was weird because I was watching that, the fan interference, you know, that gets ends up being an out. I thought for sure Dylan could have had that, but maybe it was different when, you know, because both Goldie and Blowers were saying, no, I don't think so. And I was like, man, it looked pretty clear to me.
But, well, it looked like they didn't see his glove hit the arm of the fan. So as his glove was reaching up to get the ball, it hits the right fan's arm, which then impedes his ability to go. Yeah. Would he have caught it? I don't know. But it, certainly his ability to catch it was impeded by the arm of the fan.
Yeah. Well, and if you looked at the fan, he was leaning way over.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something that you couldn't tell until you look for it specifically. But they end up losing that game. But still, that was just I was screaming and yelling at the TV watching that. And I'm like, that fan's going to get his butt kicked because basically it would have, you know, if he doesn't catch it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on if you're the other fans thinking, well, he did them a favor if they would have ruled it a home run because, yeah, Dylan Moore might have caught it. So right, as the opposing fan, he kind of did the right thing. Now, you know, they ruled it an out. But either way, it's a home run. He doesn't go after it. It's a home run, or Dylan Moore catches it. So the outcome's kind of, I don't know. I didn't blame the fan in that situation because I thought they were going to rule in favor of the team and say, no, home run.
I was mad at him because I thought it was another opportunity for Dylan Moore to make an amazing play.
Yeah.
You know, and he had the one he jumped for, and then he had another diving stop that he had that was an out. I mean, he was just awesome. So yeah, I really enjoyed watching that game till the end. But yeah, they got right there in Colorado. So hopefully this continues on into Texas this week because this is going to be a big test.
Well, yeah, this will be a good barometer. This, you know, because even in celebrating this win, of course you get the people texting in say, "Oh, the Rockies are garbage." And they're not they good. Are. They're not good.
Yeah. I
mean, you did what you should have done. You won the series. Even against a team you look at and say that's a garbage team, whether you're talking about them or the White Sox, the A's, the idea that you expect to sweep them on the road is not a fair expectation. I'm sorry. It's just not. Maybe if you're the Dodgers, who are having their own struggles, by the way, but with that lineup, maybe that's more of a fair expectation. But to sweep any team on the road, I don't think you're being fair. I think you go in expecting, we want to win the series, we're capable of sweeping this team, but the goal is to win this series. And that's what they did. And, you know, here they are sitting at 11-11. They're a half game out of first place against the Rangers, who they will face starting tomorrow. And after 22 games last season, they're ahead of last year. Last year, they were 10-12 at this point. So one game difference. But they've won 7 of 10. They've now won two series in a row. This pitching has been spectacular. They allowed four total runs. Not all earned, by the way. Four total runs were allowed in three games. Six total runs, Dave, in the last five games. Six. How about that?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, they're starting to live up to what we thought they were going to be. And, you know, there was some scuffling that went on just a little bit. But especially, you know, I thought again, I've mentioned this before, but that Cleveland outing for George Kirby was just, it was almost shocking to me because I just expect so much more. But, yeah, you look at the pitching staff right now. I was just looking up against the rest of the league. They have they've given up 47 walks, and the next closest is 55. So, and you look at some of these other teams that have 80, 90 walks, 47 walks so far. So it's they're just very efficient, and, you know, and they're top 10 in pretty much every category as far as pitching goes. And that's with a kind of a rough go there a couple of times. So, you know, we had some performances you didn't really recognize, you know, some of them from Castillo and as I mentioned, Kirby. And I think Logan has probably been him and Bryce Miller, maybe the most solid as far as just consistency. But, you know, you've seen some up and down from Castillo and Kirby and, yeah, and Hancock a little bit too. So he wasn't expected to be in there, but still, I understand we're getting some good news on Brian Wu.
Yeah, pitched three innings the other night. Looked great, yeah. Apparently, no problems whatsoever. A little concerning to hear Kirby say he was sore, his arm was sore before the game. You're like, oh, okay, yeah. Hopefully that's just, you know, garden variety soreness that happens. You know, nothing to worry. Obviously, it's nothing to worry. They let him go out there and pitch. Now he didn't go with the full six innings to get that quality start to get the streak going. But he held him. He shut him out. He pitched well. He battled through whatever he was dealing with physically. His velocity was down a little bit, but, you know, good on him to get out there. And they obviously felt okay with it. Seeing Castillo go out there and do what he did was really good to see because that's what you'd been waiting for. And he goes out there and just dominates. Seven innings, two hits, no runs, one walk, nine strikeouts. I mean, that was Luis Castillo.
Yeah.
That was Luis Castillo. Excuse me. And to me, that was not a relief. I wasn't like, oh my God, he's done, he's washed, it's finished. But you just were waiting, like, all right, you know, he'd given up like four runs in each of the first three starts, and then his last game, it was a quality start, but he still gave up three runs. Still was six innings, three runs. He wasn't that shutdown, top of the rotation ace, and this was that. He was spectacular out there. Seeing that was great. I mean, the pitching has just been spot on, just been dominant, the way you expect it, the way we expect it. And that's as much as they've done in a couple of these games where the offense blew up, they're still a team that's going to rely on that pitching to carry them through because, as you saw in the extra inning game, the offense is a little spotty at times. I mean, they had a ton of opportunities. What was they? 1-for-9, I think, with runners in scoring position in that game. They stranded 10. Wasn't a good day for the offense for whatever reason. You know, so you still need the pitching to be there for you, and they have been. They've been spectacular. So they've won 7 of 10. They've won, you know, and it started with the series against the Reds, who, you know, whether people think they're good or not, Reds have gone on to win 3 in a row since that series. Mm-hmm. They've got a better record than the Mariners. So that wasn't, you know, you beating up on the bad Rockies team. So it started with a good team. Rockies are not a good team. Now you go up against the Rangers. It's going to be a good test.
Yeah, it really will. You know, we were talking last week about, you know, different hitters and how they're kind of scuffling. And I think it was early last week we were talking about Cal Raleigh and his 196. He had a good trip. He's up to 258. And you talked about how early on, obviously, it you know, you can adjust those averages adjust quickly. But, man, he's at 258 now. And, you know, really had the 4-for-4 game and, you know, scored a couple runs, home run, RBIs. And so he's starting to hit 3 RBIs yesterday. I mean, this guy is starting to heat up a little bit. So, yeah, just slow starting team. Some of their players, slow starters, but they're in a great groove right now. And hopefully they're able to continue down in Texas because, man, 0-for-6 down there last year. I still can't believe
0 for Arlington.
Still can't believe that stat.
I know.
Not one game. Come on.
Yeah, that struck me as odd. Just didn't feel that way. But you know, you talked about the average of Cal Raleigh looking beyond respectable now, considering what he does as a catcher. Julio Rodriguez, it's interesting. He started before the Red series. He went into that series against the Reds hitting 186 with a 238 on base. He's now hitting 276 with a 315 on base. He's got a 6-game hitting streak going. In those 6 games, he's had 13 hits. So that's That's the bright side. And I was tweeting that out, and then I would invariably get somebody go, yeah, but we've got other people to slap singles. I'm like, all right, let's be happy he's starting to hit the ball on a regular basis. He's got a hitting streak going. The home runs are going to come. They're going to come. It's weird that it's taken this long, because I was looking last year. He hit his first home run in the fourth game of the season. We're 22 games in. He hasn't hit a home run yet. So you're like, all right, you know it's coming. And when he does, you know, Blowers keep saying, everybody says it. Like, once he hits one, they're going to come in bunches. But it is interesting, in those 13 hits in the six-game hitting streak, he's got 13 hits, 11 are singles.
Yeah.
He's got three RBIs and no home runs, eight strikeouts, and one walk.
Well, and then the two doubles came in the same game, right?
Yeah.
Against the Reds that last getaway day or whatever.
And even his total for the season, he's got 24 hits on the season, 21 are singles. He's got 21 singles, three doubles, eight runs driven in. So he's not doing damage. He's not to this point. But I just like that he's, you know, listen, he's on base every game, it feels like. He's got multiple hits a game. He's 13 hits in six games. He's finding it, and the power numbers will be there. He's going to hit the home runs. He's going to drive in the runs. But it is an interesting, you know, when you look a little deeper at his total for the season, 21 of his 24 hits have all been singles. So I don't know if people are worried, you know, if this is making you feel better that he's regular contact, he's got hard contact, he's got some flares in there as well, but he's finding success. Now we just need him to do the damage, but it's not something I worry about. Some people were, you know, it's a minority. It's a, you know, voice here or there that's, oh yeah, he's just, this is nothing. Ty France does that. Okay. You're committed to being unhappy. You know, I get it. But I also get people that point out, hey man, he is your producer. That's a guy you need to do damage. And right now he's got eight runs driven in on the season.
Yeah.
And he's hitting singles.
Well, and I think those things are going to start to come for him. And, you know, I'm with you on that, yeah, you don't really need him to hit singles. He's, you know, you want to have him, you know, get his slugging percentage up there. And, you know, it's just not really happening for him right now. But good things are happening.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's only going to lead to, he's too good for that. But I understand when people look at, you know, how much they paid him. That's not what they paid him to do. But he's getting hits. So let's not complain about that.
Yeah, it's better than him flying out every time or grounding into double plays incessantly and not getting on base at all. So he's finding it. It's going to be there. Right? I've got no concerns about Julio and his power, because I absolutely agree with everybody who said it, that once he hits that first one, you know they're just going to come in bunches. It's just odd that it's taken this long. Fourth game last season, we're 22 in now, so we'll see if he gets it done. I thought for sure, come on, Colorado, that's where it's going to happen. Now, the weather was a little funky. Yeah. That helped keep the ball in the yard for some guys, but we'll see what goes on here. But we talked about Castillo. I just wanted to hear this. He looks so good in that game. He looks so good. And just nine strikeouts, one walk, shutting him out. Brilliant.
Pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Luis with the Castillo flex and the knee bend. He has been magnificent tonight. Nine strikeouts. Goes 1-2-3 in the seventh. A dominant performance by Luis Castillo. It's 7-0 Mariners.
Luis. Luis Castillo. Did he do that? Luis? Is that a little play on words there?
Yeah, I didn't even catch that.
I don't know if that was intentional, but I like it.
I do too. He was just phenomenal. I love that, the little celebration where he holds the fist.
He turns around. He sees the knee bend, the flex. Yeah, it was great. And service, obviously, after the game, very excited to see that.
You know, sometimes it's mind over matter, you know, on that stuff. And The Rock was ready. You know, he's gotten off to a little bit of a slower start this spring or this season. But, you know, we saw it coming together at the end of his last start and it carried over to tonight. So just dominant performance.
Yeah, so that was great. How about J.P. Crawford with one of the longest triples you'll ever see? 426 feet. It would have been a home run in every park, Dave, except for this one, except for Colorado. Every part.
The right-hander's 3-1 pitch to Crawford, swing and a high fly ball deep in the right center field. Cave going back to the one he dragged to the wall, and this one is off the top of the fence. Here comes Raley to score. Urias Ronnie third coming in. Here comes Zavala Ronnie third being waved in. He will score. Crawford scampers the third. He goes in standing up with a bases clearing. Three-run triple out in right center field, and it's now the Mariners 5 and the Rockies 2. Listen to the Mariner fans here at Coors Field tonight.
426 feet. and it stays in the yard.
It's robbery.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But yeah, good to see that from him. He's been scuffling, to say the least. So that's huge for him. And then you brought up Cal Raleigh with another home run and extending the lead in that game to 9-2.
Here's a pitch to Cal. Pitch swung on, driven straight away center field and deep. Giving ground, Cave. Look it up. Bye-bye. Big Cal with a two-run homer, and the Mariners have a 9-2 lead here in Colorado. Cal with home run number 5, RBIs 9 and 10. He drove that baby about 430.
Woo! Yeah, it leads the team now with 5 home runs. Can we hear the crack of that bat in the very beginning of that clip one more time? Just
pitch
love it.
To Cal. Pitch swung on, driven straight away center field and deep.
Gotta love that sound.
It's one of the best sounds ever. And you hear it in batting practice because there's no crowd in batting practice. So you're just hearing the pure crack, and there's a very small crowd in Colorado, so you're hearing it.
Yeah.
And you hear the individual voices of the drunks in the stands, which is always entertaining, too, when there's a very light crowd out there. But, yeah, some of the great things going on with the offense over the weekend. Jeff Passan speaking with Brock and Salk, and we were just talking about Julio and what has been going on offensively, good and bad, if you will. And he was asked if it's a bigger surprise that Julio has turned into an elite center fielder or that he hasn't hit a home run yet.
Definitely the center field part, because, listen, guys go through slumps. Even elite hitters go through slumps, and they're searching for things and trying to find it. And I think at this point, he's not trying to hit home runs necessarily, and that's a good thing. He knows home runs are going to come. He is too big. He is too strong. His swing is too good. He's going to go on a jag here where he hits a bunch of them. That's just, it is an inevitability. I would put a month's salary on.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
He's going to go on a jag.
Is that what he is?
Buckle up for the jag. It's coming.
Yeah.
The jag is coming.
God, how nice would it be? How nice would it be for him to get
to go
get
on
this
a jag?
Whole thing That'd started cool. down in Texas, man? Oh man!
Well, this is gonna shape the opinions of a lot of the cynics. This series, even though it shouldn't, it should help. You know, especially if they win, you're gonna feel great about it. But if they drop this series to the Rangers, I'm not gonna go, oh, see, Mariners total pretenders. They beat up on the bad teams, lose to the good teams. No, it's still, people hate hearing it. It's still early. And this is a team that's rounding into what they're going to be. You can see that it's starting to form. It's starting to, you know, it's starting to gel a bit. It's not there. They're not a finished product, not close, but they're closer. They're decidedly more cohesive than they were certainly to start this year.
Hey, real quick, before we go to take two, what'd you think of the Julio misplaying the one ball in center field? That was
a couple moments out there that weren't awesome.
I thought, yeah, that one would have been a really good catch, but that's kind of
talking about the one that hit the wall.
No, the one that he kind of misread a little bit, and I don't know, it flies different there with the thin air, whatever. But it was just kind of like, that was a tough play, but he typically makes those.
Yeah, it was, and it was more on a line. It wasn't like that majestic fly ball you can camp under, and line drives. You see a lot of guys have to they kind of stop in their tracks for a moment. And then readjust. I mean, you could see that even if you're playing, you know, I've seen that in City League hardball when I was playing out there. The ball hit directly at you, and you just kind of freeze for a moment, like trying to pick up how rapidly it's approaching. And before you know it, it's over your head. Never happened to me, of course. But, you know, hey, it happens to others. Kidding.
I remember we played softball on a team. Remember we used to?
Yeah.
And I remember one was hit at me like that, and I, like, started running in, and you were screaming, "Get back!" And I had to turn around and go chase it.
He didn't get back in time.
No.
All right, let's take two.
Well, there were a couple of key injuries in the AL West over the weekend. Do not be too shocked by this, but Anthony Rendon is on the IL. 10-day IL. Yeah, I know. Came as a surprise. A left hamstring strain suffered in the first inning on Saturday night. And how about this news? So the Astros put Christian Javier on the IL with neck discomfort. He's the 5th Astros starter currently on the IL. And that's even after they got Justin Verlander activated on Friday.
Wow. That's a shame. As far as Rendon, I mean, listen, it's even worse. First of all, he's making a boatload of money. But when you know a guy loves the game the way he does and it's taken away from him because of injury, you feel bad for him, don't you?
Yeah, the first thing you think is, well, maybe if you loved the game and worked harder, you wouldn't have a strained hamstring.
This guy, he has been a... If you're an Angels fan, I can't imagine an Angels fan out there trying to defend the signing now. And trust me, I wanted him here. He came off a monster year in Washington. I was like,
crazy.
God, if you could get Rendon, that would be huge. And when he went there, I'm like, oh, great. Now they got him and Trout and Ohtani. That's almost like the Dodgers lineup. And he has been a disaster since he ended up with the Angels. He has not come close to playing a full season. Here's his game log quickly. Since total number of games played with the Angels. Now, one was the pandemic year. So 52, 58, 47, 43, and then so far 19 this year. Those are his total games played each season.
Well, and just like you said, who was the pitcher that also with the Nationals that year that
Strasburg?
Signed somewhere?
Strasburg.
Yeah,
and yeah.
Didn't work out. But Rendon has been bad. Disaster. And then you go and bury yourself by saying you don't really care about the game. That was dumb.
Well, in the NFL, the Jets have traded Zach Wilson and a 7th-round pick to the Broncos for a 6th-round pick. And the Jets will also pay part of Wilson's $5.5 million salary for this season. So now 4 of 5 first-round quarterbacks from the 2021 draft class have been traded.
Trevor Lawrence, the only one not to be traded.
First overall pick, he's the only one still there.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And we're talking about potentially 6 quarterbacks going in the first round of this year, and the bust potential, I mean, it is there, and maybe some of these guys, you know, Justin Fields finds it elsewhere. Maybe Zach Wilson, who knows? But right now you're going, that's a bad crop. 4 of the 5 first quarterbacks taken, all traded.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that the way we're talking about, like, Drake May and, you know, every one of these quarterbacks, J.J. McCarthy, half of them are going to be busts.
It'd be just like this.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, it's a position we think will be the key to the Seahawks draft. We're going to break it down. Coming up next with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Coming up at 3 o'clock, Ryan Roland Smith will join us on the program. I was trying to find a tweet. Maybe he deleted it. He sent out a tweet saying he was going to be on the show today. And then...
Did he give it the wrong time out?
No,
or like
he
that?
Said something about, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't find it. He was paraphrasing saying, hey, last time I'm going on with Wyman and Bob at 3. Last time I was on there was all doom and gloom and... Now we fast forward, and like I said, it's early or something like that. And the implication was kind of like we were doom and gloom, and then people were chiming in like, oh, well, that's what they do, or that's their show. I'm like, what are you doing? We're catching strays. He's promoting that he's coming on with a show, and we got people that are taking shots at us. Seemed unnecessary.
I don't think Ryan would have done that on purpose.
I think he might have. Maybe he deleted it. Here it is. Last Monday, I was on with Wyman and Bob, and it was all doom and gloom, talking Mariners. 3 days later, I was back on Seattle Sports talking about all the good stuff and a team pushing to be first in the AL West. The moral of the story, it is indeed early. And then the first one, with all due respect to them, Wyman has basic baseball knowledge at best, can't do baseball without using a football metaphor. And Bob is a sensationalist. Is he saying I'm sensational? Is that what he means?
Yes, that's exactly what
he means. Of course.
That's exactly what it means, right? Splendid.
Thank you so much. I am sensational. And then ended it with, they are perfect for sports radio.
There you go. That's a new show promo. They are perfect for sports radio.
We're going to have to mess with his introduction now.
Yeah. He's just setting us up to get hit with strays out there. I mean, it's just uncalled for, unnecessary. But thanks for calling me sensational.
That's good.
All right. So we'll talk to Ryan coming up at 3 o'clock. But we've been doing this. We get a list of different position groups of some of the top players expected to be drafted at those positions. And Dave's been going through and taking a look at the film and breaking down each of these guys. And you took a look at a couple of guards, which is, I would say, certainly still a need, if even for depth at this point. We don't know what, what's his name? Lincoln Tomlinson? Is that his last name?
Oh, Lakin Tomlinson?
Yeah. They signed him. They signed a couple of other guys that, I mean, nobody that has a name that you're that familiar with, but one-year deal guys. You've got Bradford from last year. So I don't know if they feel like they're set, but you got a couple guys you looked at here that could play a part potentially.
Yeah, and could possibly be, you know, that 16th pick. Now, I got Graham Barton from Duke, Jackson Powers-Johnson from Oregon. But the reason why I say maybe, you know, picked in the first round is because of Troy Faltanu from UW. So, and he's fantastic. But, the Graham Barton I looked at, and these guys are all, you know, they're actually Jackson Powers-Johnson at Oregon. He actually played center, and he played some guard a little bit. But, man, I didn't see Graham Barton playing guard at all, but that's kind of what it's mostly that he's been playing tackle in college. And but he's being evaluated kind of as an interior guy. But he's from Duke. Projection is round one, 6'5", 315, big dude. Was our guy Baldinger, Baldy, he said he thinks he's going to go to the Steelers with the number 20 pick. You know, and I put in there, he's got kind of short arms and not the biggest hands in the world, which holding in the NFL is legal. But when he latches onto you, man, he is just pile-driving people. And that's where I love that about this position group, because you saw a lot of like pancakes and guys just getting the crap beat out of them. These guys are all just maulers. The other guy, Jackson Powers-Johnson from Oregon, 6'3", 328. The combine, he had 30 reps on his bench. Here's what I wrote in there, though. He had an 8'8" broad jump. I think I might have beaten him 2 years ago when we did the media combine.
He also is carrying how much more weight?
That doesn't matter. That's like Danny. Remember, Danny used to always say, oh, that's a big ankle. He sprained his ankle. Like, that's a more of a, no, you should be able to explode. It's not very explosive. I mean, most guys you see like 10 feet or whatever. But when you watch him play, the other thing about him, he's got kind of an unorthodox way of running. But he just blasts people. I mean, you saw more pancakes from this guy than anybody else that I looked at anyway. And so, kid out of Oregon, can play center and guard. The only thing I would say, though, is he needs to come under control a little bit. In the open field, he'll hunt guys up and, you know, just crush them. But there's lots of times where I feel like he's going to get juked and, you know, he needs to come under control. He kind of runs high and kind of takes short little steps, but he can move. And, so he looks like a guy that, you know, could possibly be. I don't think he's projected to be in the first round. I haven't seen any mock drafts where he was, but I'm sure there's, with the 5 million of them, there's one out there.
Yeah, yeah. So you took a look at him,
Yeah, I looked at Barton, I looked at Powers-Johnson, and then you watch Troy Faltanu, and it's just totally different class.
You think that was going to be my question. How big of a gap is there between the first two and Faltanu?
Huge.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, to me, he's got to be the best guard candidate because he played tackle, you know, at University of Washington, but... You know, and I wrote, hey, if Penix or Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, aren't there, I think the Seahawks should draft him because he's as good of an athlete that I've ever seen at offensive line. So amazing. And I think he was on the morning show, and, you know, they were talking about how he's, you know, a little bit – he's a nice guy off the field, but, man, when he gets on the field, he just flips a switch.
So I asked you this before. But I'll ask you one more time because we're getting close to the draft. And you've got in here under Faltanu, if Penix or Bowers is not there, Seahawks should draft him. The end.
Yeah.
Let's pretend all three are there at 16. What's your pecking order? Like, I would go with Penix first, and if he's not there and it's just Bowers and Faltanu, I would go with Bowers. I'd go with what's the pecking order if all three are there?
Well, I think you just named it. So it goes, for me, Penix, because if you can solve a quarterback problem. Mm-hmm. It's rare. I mean, how many people are set at quarterback and they're absolutely 100% sure that this is their guy for the next 5 to 7 years.
We just talked about four teams of the five that drafted quarterbacks in 2021 that thought they were set, and now you fast forward, they're not.
Yeah, well, and I would say that the Seahawks probably fall into that category, depending on what you feel about Geno Smith. But, you know, Geno's getting on in age, and so, yeah, I just think that that position, if you hit a home run on that, it ends up being, you know, a Justin Herbert instead of a Zach Wilson. Yeah, you're set. So I just always prioritize that, because just by virtue of the fact that maybe a third of the teams in the NFL are entirely confident with the quarterback that they have. So Penix to me. Then, you know, I have to say Bowers is probably second. And then, you know, go to Troy Fautano, because he has an amazing ability to – and he did something, I showed it to Lefko, I've never seen before, where he was blocking a guy and he got past him. He spun all the way around the other way and blocked him. Like, he did it so quickly because his feet are so good. The other thing I would say about him is whatever, like, he's doing with his upper body where he's punching and slapping people's hands down, his lower half, it's almost like his lower half is in a separate entity, because it
like they're two separate
bodies. It's like his feet are never affected by him. He doesn't lunge and things like that, but when he's like popping a guy or slapping his hands off, his lower half is still, and it's always in like good position. His feet are always moving. Reminds me of Walter Jones, the dancing bear.
Dancing bear, yeah.
Man, I mean, that was the thing. You know, Walt was a huge guy and everything, but the best things about him were his feet and his hands. And that's really how you play football. And, you know, I think he does a good job up top as well. Like, he'll swat guys' hands off of him. And, you know, but like I said, his lower half is always in good position, at least from everything I saw. So, and compared, you know, maybe not compared to a guy who's a Pro Bowler in the NFL, but if you look at the rest of college football, I mean, there's nobody really like him. And he played tackle. And so, you know, and he cut number 9. He talked about, you know, possibly the idea of, you know, playing guard instead of tackle.
I said, I'm just trying to compete wherever that is. And at the end of the day, I do think I'm a tackle. Like, I've heard that a lot. I've heard both. I've heard more tackle than anything. But, you know, there's, like I said before, there's guys in the NFL that are like, have been around for a while. So, you know, you got to be realistic sometimes and get in where you fit in. So, yeah, I'm just excited for an opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, it's crazy to think that this is now a career. This is like my job. So, you know, wherever they're paying me to play, I'm going to play, and I'm going to play to my fullest, you know, capability. So,
we'll see if that's going to be Seattle. See what happens as we'll be out there live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center starting on Thursday. Wall-to-wall coverage of the NFL draft. So definitely tune in for that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, this is just another confirmation that I believe 100% they're going to pick the best player possible, because I just mentioned a quarterback, a tight end, and a guard.
Coming up, we've got a full weekend of things that bothered us, presumably. We'll find out exactly what those things are. What's bugging Bob? Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
What's bugging Bob, presented by Issaquah Pest Control. A reminder coming up at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock, Ryan Roland Smith will join us.
I don't know about that.
Talk some Mariner baseball and why he's just throwing us under the table, as Lefko likes to say. Following, I don't understand.
Why would he throw us under the bus like that?
I don't know. Maybe
I thought we were friends.
Maybe because we had listeners taking random shots at him last week in mean text. Remember that? We had some just out of nowhere Ryan Roland Smith hate.
And only a couple of those were from me. So, I mean, people were really piling on.
So maybe it was a little bit. I don't know. We'll find out. He'll join us at 3 o'clock today. But as has become the custom, we start our complaining with the great Matt Nelson. Hi, Matt.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. How was the week? Did anything get you pushed in the wrong direction?
Shockingly enough, yes.
Was it you?
It actually wasn't me this time.
Okay.
My sister sent me a TikTok, which, first of all, don't send me a TikTok. I'm too old for TikTok. I don't care about TikTok. They're all annoying.
She younger or older?
Younger.
Okay.
By a year, but...
Can you explain to me what a TikTok is?
No.
Is it like a video that plays
it's
over?
It's going to take up the whole segment.
Oh. All right.
It's just, it's an annoying video that kids are into these days.
It's okay. An app.
It's the youths. The youths. What they're doing.
The youths.
Yeah.
The youths right. Are into it.
This TikTok had a cover of the Cranberries' Linger, which is one of my favorite songs of all
time. You have
a
bumper sticker about it.
I do have a bumper sticker about it. It says, "Keep honking. I'm listening to the Cranberries' 1993 hit Linger and crying in my car."
That's his bumper sticker.
I thought it was such a funny bumper sticker because the Cranberries, one of, if not my favorite bands, and Linger, one of my favorite songs by them. But it's this cover of Linger that's like taken off everywhere by this band called Royal Otis, who I'd never heard before. And it's a beautiful cover. It's very well done. Beautiful vocals. It's great. But everyone online is praising it as if it's this like brand new song and these beautiful lyrics that they've never heard before. And it's like, no, it's a cover of a better song from 30 years ago. You're just listening to a cover, people. But no one seems to know that, and it really hurts my feelings.
It bothers you they don't know that?
It really does. It shouldn't, but it does.
I get it. There are covers out there. By a million bands do that. They'll do covers, and people go, "Do you hear that song by such and such? What a so well written." I'm like, they didn't write it.
There's something about it that annoys me. And there are plenty of covers that I like, but in this situation, it feels like, and I don't think it's the fault of the band or anything. I think people are just hearing a song. They hadn't heard the original.
Yeah.
They assume it's new. But it's not.
You hate their ignorance.
So much better.
You hate their ignorance.
That's what's bugging me. The ignorance of the youth today.
That's
how
right.
Dare they?
Ignorant youth.
How dare they not have heard a song from 30 years ago by an alt band?
So says Matt Nelson. Do your research.
This reminds me exactly of that situation. The guy skateboarding. Remember, he was drinking the cranberry juice.
Yeah. He was, it was Fleetwood doing Mac. Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, and same thing happened, right? People didn't know that song. They're like, "Oh, what is this song? Like, this is a great new song." Because it was on TikTok, which we won't even tell Dave about that.
TikTok.
But the people of TikTok, the youth of TikTok, thought it was some new song. So now I have memories of that, Matt. So thank you.
Well, that's an even, that one makes a little more, because that's from the 70s, yeah. That song. This song's from the 90s. Mm. So a couple of decades. But yeah, you're right. It did take on a whole new level of fandom. Lefko's got a good complaint, one that wouldn't sit well with me.
Yeah, I don't know how I can match that big inconvenience that Matt Nelson suffered with. Well, how about you guys describe what I look like today? If you just want to give a generic description.
You got a random t-shirt on, long sleeve, you got a Mariner hat.
Yeah.
I'm assuming a pair of jeans.
You looked unkempt.
I didn't look at your lower half, Mike, but I don't.
Let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
Do I look like I haven't shaved in, you know, maybe a week close to it?
Not a week.
Unkempt.
Well, no, I think a week you'd have a lot bigger.
That's true.
Bigger beard.
So Saturday morning, the power goes out for most of Ballard due to a balloon. Someone, you know, had probably a gender reveal or a birthday party, got caught in the power lines. Power goes out for like 3 hours. You know, kind of annoying, but that's okay. The issue happened on Saturday night when I think all of our buildings started to realize, hey, there's not really hot water. Like, the water's warm. It's still there. No hot water. And then we discovered that, we got an email from our building management. Now, this is like a big apartment building. The thing that controlled the hot water for the entire building broke during that power surge when the power went out on Saturday morning. So they have to order a part. They frantically called it in. But here we are Monday morning and now into afternoon, and there's been no hot water where I live for 2+ days.
Oof. You know what you got to do? You got to suck it up, take the cold shower.
I did that Sunday.
Did you?
Didn't want to do it again today.
You got to run in there. Just go really fast.
Do you feel like you get clean? Can you tolerate it long enough to really?
It's better than
nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But yeah, I think I'd be calling friends like, "Hey, what do you got going on?
Can I come shower at your house?
Anybody in your shower right now?" That would not go well. That would be poorly received. Dave, what about you? Did you get a chance to honky tonk this weekend?
Did it
out of your system?
We didn't get to go. We did yard work instead, and I did pressure washing, which is very rewarding.
How's the tub? How's the
big huge tub?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's got these tiny little plants in there. They're growing,
sprouting, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
she's gonna go.
Now she's going to say, "You don't get any," because I think there's like lettuce and there's mint and all that stuff. So anyway, but I think my only complaint right now is Ryan Roland Smith. I mean, I don't know if we're even going to have him on here at 3 o'clock. We're going to take a secret vote here.
Should we vote?
Yeah.
Whether we let him in? I mean, just really unsolicited.
You know what else? Yeah, it was unsolicited. Not only that, I probably watched 3 different shows over the weekend with Ryan Roland Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching his top step. You know,
is that your Australian accent?
Was that like German or something? Was that a German accent?
You gotta isolate that one, man.
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't Australian.
You gotta isolate that one.
Good.
That was great.
Well, I'm glad I screwed up his imitation. We'll see what happens here when we talk to him here in a few minutes. But
yeah, just throwing us.
Maybe
out
we
there,
can forgive him.
Well. He might have to ask. He might have to get down on bended knee to beg forgiveness. We'll see. Ryan Roland Smith, who's with us every single Monday, apparently talking doom and gloom, and now he's going to come on to share some sunshine. We're gonna get to the bottom of everything that is the Mariners with Ryan Roland Smith, who joins us next. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.